I read a story about two guys walking down a crowded city sidewalk. Suddenly, one of the men turned to the other one and said this, "Do you hear that cricket?" The other guy turned to him and said, "Well, there's no way. All that I hear is the sound of traffic." The one guy was a zoologist, and he had trained himself to listen for the sounds of nature. And he said, "I hear a cricket." The same guy reached into his pocket, pulled out a half-dollar coin, and he threw it down on the sidewalk. It went clank. And he watched about a dozen people go looking for the coin after they heard it hit the concrete. The zoologist and the other guy then had a conversation. And here's what the zoologist said, the guy that could hear the cricket. He says, "We hear what we listen for." Jesus said, "My sheep listen for my voice, and they hear it, and they follow me." And so from this story, we listen for the things that are important to us. And Jesus said, "My sheep, those who follow me, have learned how to listen for my voice." Over the past couple months, I've heard a couple people say this. They say, "You know, when I get an idea, I don't know if it's God speaking to me or if it's just me." We all can relate to that. Is this God or is this me? And as I reflected on these comments, I decided to do a message today on how to discern God's voice. After all, we all want to figure that out. Is this God or is this just me? And I want to make decisions and make good ones. And so today we're going to talk about that. And the message is in two sections. Here's the first part. I want to talk about three voices in life. Three different sources. There are many, but I boiled it down to three. The second part of the message is this. How do you and I really know if it's God's voice? And we're going to look at four questions we can ask ourselves. Is this God or is this just me? And those four questions will become a filter to determine which voice it really is. So take your sermon listening guide. Let's get started. Three voices in our lives. Number one, the first voice is the voice of God Himself. This is the voice we want to dial into. Read with me John 10:27 in your notes. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." It's very clear. My sheep, my voice. My sheep from the shepherd, and my voice from the people following. There's a connection. The amazing thing to me is a parent can walk into a room full of kids and there's noise going on and they can pick out the voice of their child. My sheep know my voice. And as the zoologist said, we listen to what we're trained to listen for. If you're here today and you've got Christ in your life, you've been born again, you're saved, you have Him inside you, the Holy Spirit lives within you. Let me tell you, you are the perfect candidate to hear His voice. You're on the journey. God has wired us to listen to His voice. It's natural. It's something that's just second nature because the Spirit of God lives inside of us and we just listen for what He says for us to do. Paul says that being led by the Spirit. You and I want to lead a life that is led by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes believers distinctive from other people. Everybody here and everybody in Walton, I want you to think of yourself as a radio receiver. You have the equipment to receive a signal from God as a receiver. And do you know that on the radio, there's a dial or there's a push buttons where you can turn into different channels? Everybody has the opportunity to turn into God's channel on their receiver if they want. Many people in Walton this morning have the receiver capability, but they're not turning into the right channel. You know what? They're missing God's voice. So God's Spirit, God's voice speaks into people's lives. Our part is to keep ourselves tuned to the right channel. Now, I've got to clarify something. When I use the word voice, in the book of Exodus, Moses heard God's voice out of the burning bush. I mean, pretty dramatic encounter. In the book of Acts, Saul was walking on the road to Damascus. He heard a voice come out of heaven. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" They were like audible voices. I want to tell you, I have never heard an audible voice from God. I've talked with people that have. You may have heard his voice. I run into people that say, you know, God said this and it was so clear. That's awesome. The majority of times, when I use the word voice, I'm not talking about an audible voice. I'm talking about an impression, an instinct, a sense of leading in my spirit when we hear God speaking to us. So Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." The Holy Spirit is a 24/7 navigational system given to each person who's a believer. It's a down payment. It's a deposit for what's to come. God says, okay, I will lead you this way. Just wait. It'll get a whole lot better after this life is over and we go to heaven. But point number one is the voice of God. You and I want to listen to that and train ourselves to hear his voice. Okay, number two. The second voice category I'm going to use is the voice of self. The voice of self. It's different totally than the voice of God. Story in the Old Testament, Jonah. Let me give you the backstory. Jonah was called to go to Nineveh, and he didn't want to do it. He resisted. He got on a boat to go to Tarshish, and a storm came about. They threw him overboard. He got swallowed by a big fish. Spent 3 days in the fish. The fish coughed him up on the bank. He said, okay, I've learned my lesson. I'll go to Nineveh. He went there and he told the people, 40 days, God's going to destroy the place unless you repent. The people repented. God did not destroy the place. And Jonah was mad. It didn't turn out the way he wanted it. He was mad at God. Read with me verses 1-3 in your notes. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." Jonah is angry at God. And he says, "Lord, I'd rather die." He is listening to the voice of self. His channel, his dial is not set to the voice of God channel. He's on the voice of self. I want to talk about people who are chronically angry. There's been times in my life, circumstances where I've gotten really angry. You probably have too. We become a poisoned well. Everything that comes out of an angry person's mouth is tainted. Make sense? We're skewed. Jonah was angry. He says, "I'd rather die." It's the voice of self. Be careful when you listen to the voice of self. It'll take you down. Not only that, people get stuck in anger. And all they see is the voice of self, and the voice is not a good voice. But we all get there, do we not? We've all been there. You may be there today. And so God wants to lift us up out of this voice of self when we get hung up and stuck. It's a poisoned well. And everything that comes out is we're angry at everybody in the world. But it's a voice. It's a source that we have to be careful we don't get stuck in. Number three. The third voice I want to talk about is the voice of Satan. The voice of Satan. In Genesis 3, there's a conversation between the serpent and Eve. The serpent is Satan himself. Read with me verse 1 in your notes. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" You know how the story goes on. Eve enters into this conversation, and she begins to question what God had said. And at the end, we know that she partook of the forbidden fruit. Sin entered the human race, and bad things happened. But the point I want to make is this. The enemy wants to have a dialogue with you. It's called temptation. And what he does is dangle in front of us some good-looking fruit. Paul says that Satan masquerades himself as an angel of life. What does that mean? It looks good on the outside, but if you go for it and bite on it, it turns out bad. He's an angel of light. He masquerades. Now, let me give you some examples. Temptation. The internet. The internet is an amazing, powerful tool. You can find just about anything on it. There's good and there's bad. But it's a source of temptation that we have to be careful of. How about this? Movies. We had in our youth group meeting, we had this discussion about movies. The movie is 3/4 good. It's got an amazing theme. The plot is good. And then a quarter of it has got lewd scenes in it or foul language. And so the question is, do I watch that movie? It's a good question. I like the plot. I like who the actors and actresses are. But wow, that one quarter is bad stuff. Now, here's what I found. If I grid out a movie that's polluted, I like the theme. But the one quarter part of either pictures or language, listen, gets stuck in my head. The voice of Satan in America is very crafty. It's very subtle. And another example, say there's a party happening. Should I go to that party? I know what's going to happen there. Should I hang with that group of people? Should I be a part of that? And so the voice of Satan is when we are tempted in whatever the area is. It looks good, but be careful. If we follow that voice, it turns out bad. The question is, where is your dial set today? Have we trained ourselves to listen to the voice of God? That's the one we want to listen to. Am I listening to the voice of myself and I'm stuck? I'm angry. I'm hung up on the inside. Am I listening to the voice of Satan? Listen, you want to get a handle on, you don't want to take that, cross the threshold of temptation, that's the one we really want to be careful of. Then secondly, be careful of getting stuck within ourselves. And somehow, Lord, get my dial so that I can hear your voice. So those are the three voices. The second part of the message is this. How can you and I know if it's God's voice or not? And there's a verse in your notes. Let's read it together. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So I brought with me a coffee filter. And we know what a coffee filter does. You put the coffee grounds in it. You then put it in the coffee pot. You put water in it and let it drip through. The filter catches the bad stuff. We do not want to drink coffee grounds. We've all done that. It's not good. It doesn't taste as good as the actual coffee. But it's a filtering system. John says, test the spirits. Here's what he's saying. Filter them. Filter them. You want to catch the bad stuff before you act on it. How do I know if it's God's voice or not? Well, filter it. And so we're going to look at four questions that we can ask to see if this is really God's voice or not. So in the first service, Junie went and got a filter. And he put it in his hat. So when Junie puts his cap on, he's got a filter on his head. And just remind him of that, will you? He's... So there's four questions we can ask you and I to say, is this God's voice or is this just me or what is this? And the purpose is to become a zoologist that has trained themselves to hear the voice of God, like training yourself to hear, listen for a cricket. You gotta practice it. You gotta tune into it. So let's get started. Number one in your notes. The first question is this: if you have an impression, a thought, an idea, the question is this: does it contradict God's word? This is pass-fail. Let me give you a ridiculous example. Say I'm short on money, and I say, wow, I could go rob a bank. You know, I need money, but you know, I say, what would God's word say about that? And that's not smart. We just don't do that. Why? It's just not right. You filter it, and you say, what does God's word say about it? Now, in your notes, Hebrews 13:8, let's read that together. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So he does not change. His word does not change. If you get an impression, an idea, a thought, the first thing you do is you filter it. And you say, does this agree with God's word? He will never contradict himself. He never will. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, this is, listen closely, this is important. This is why it's important that you memorize Scripture. Get a few verses under your belt, and when you wake up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning, start rehearsing Scripture. The psalmist said this: your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When you have the word of God in your heart and you feed your life with it, your soul becomes saturated with it, you have the best filter going, because you will instinctively know when a thought hits your head if whether it's God or not. Some people will come to church on Sunday morning and they may go the entire week and not have any exposure to the word of God. Let me tell you, it's a very weak filter. But to the person who continues to feed their life with the word, their heart and soul is exposed to it and filled to it on a regular basis throughout the week, they have a strong filter. And the first question is, wow, does this idea, this impression, this thought, this voice, does it agree with the word of God? Okay. Question number two. The second thing we can ask ourselves is this: does it glorify God? If what you're about to do, will it bring honor and glory to God? So read with me 1 Corinthians 10:31 in your notes. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So the idea that comes to your mind, Does it agree with God's word? But then secondly, will this bring glory to him, or is it something that might be embarrassing? It's part of the filter. Will it honor him? Will he be pleased if I do it, if I pursue it? And will it somehow lift up his name? That's question two. Number three, the third thing we can do in our filter is this. We ask ourselves, do I have peace about it? Do I have peace about it? So read with me Colossians 3:15 in your notes. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. You could think of it as an umpire. And an umpire behind the plate calls balls and strikes. It's yes or no. And peace does that for us. Let me explain. When you're about to make a decision about whatever it is, how's your peace level? Everybody has an internal guidance system through the Holy Spirit. And if you're about to make a decision that you don't feel good about, there's uncomfortability. It's like a flashing yellow light, or it could be a red light. If you don't have peace about the decision you're about to make, that's a sign to maybe back off, or the timing's not right. On the other hand, if you're about to make a decision to do something, and this is awesome, God is honored, it agrees with his word, and you do it, your peace will expand. It'll get bigger. You'll be blessed. Maybe you're standing in the line of a grocery, in the grocery store, and somebody's short on money, and you step up to pay the balance of their bill. Or you see somebody in need at the McDonald's, or you do something for them. You do it spontaneously, but I tell you, you feel good about it. The decisions that we make where we feel uncomfortable, when I've done that, it doesn't turn out so good. Something will usually happen down the road that'll come back to bite me. You all get that. We understand that. So when you make a decision internally, the Holy Spirit, 24/7 guidance system, you're trying to listen to the voice of God. Do I have peace about the decision I'm about to make? Paul says, let the peace help you make that. If you have peace, go for it. If you don't, you probably ought to hold off, back off, get perspective. It may be something different or better we need to think about. I know I've heard Pat at different times talk about she'd be praying and God would bring someone to her mind and she would call him. And it was just the right moment to offer up a word of encouragement. Same thing may have happened to you. What happens is when we follow that prompting, we will experience a miracle moment. Not only the person on the other end, but even for ourselves. It's a blessing. We connected with God leading us through his Spirit, and he just blesses that person, and he blesses us. Okay, so number one, filter. Does it contradict the word of God in any way? Pass, fail, yes, no. Number two, will it glorify God? Number three, do I have peace about it if I make this decision this way or that way? Isaiah put it this way. He says, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. This is being directed by the peace of God in your life, and he'll show us which decision to make. All right. Number four, this is a good one. What would other godly people say about it? In other words, if you have a big decision to make in your life, like, should I marry that person? Should I go to that college? Should I take that job? Should I make this big change? Ask other people. Read with me Proverbs 11:14 in your notes. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. What's that mean? If you ask godly people about a big decision you're about to make, and they are tuned into the right dial, God's voice, and you get their input, you can feel good about that. Because there's safety in the multitude of counselors. I have to be honest, there's been times in my life where I had an idea. And I started talking to another person or people about it, and they talked me down. And the end result, Larry, that was just a stupid idea. Blessed is the person who has in their life someone who will talk you down. Blessed is that person. Because there are times where we think we got it right. I think I've got it right, but I really haven't. It's not right. It's stupid. Thank God that people can speak into one's life to correct us. So many of you probably heard about the pastor in Colorado who raised about $3.2 million and invested it in a cryptocurrency scheme. Now here's the deal. He said he felt led by God to do it. He felt led by God to do it. And from what I understand, it's a defunct investment and it's worthless. I listened to a video yesterday and the guy was saying he invested the money and he said, but it had no exit. I'm not sure what that means, but other than it's probably a dead-end deal. But he said, I felt like God led me to do that. Did he? Or was it his own personal desire and somehow he thought it was God? Now, there was another publication, this is interesting, in which the guy releases another video, and here's the statement. He says, I may have misheard the divine instructions. Now, I don't know if he had a group of people around him to make this decision. I don't know if it's just his wife. I don't know all those details. But the point is this. In the multitude of counselors, especially in big decisions, there is safety. Somebody can talk you out of something that's really bad. Don't be afraid to consult other people if you're trying to sort something out. There's safety. There's blessing. When other people, older, smarter, wiser, can speak into your life and say, you know what? I don't think that is such a good idea. Everybody needs those people in our lives. So to summarize the filter, three voices, God, self, and Satan. We got to turn our dial to the right voice. But we filter the voice when we get it and ask this question. Does this contradict God's word? Yes or no, black and white. And make sure you fill your heart with God's word on a regular basis, and you will have the best filtering system around. You will be able to figure something out very quickly if God is in it. It's just God's word, his spirit is faithful. And say, no, that's not good. And so ask that question. Number two, will it glorify God? If it's not going to bring glory to him, it's like bad coffee grounds. Let it go. Number three, do I have peace about it? This one's big. You're the only one can decide that. If you have great peace in the decision you're going to make and, you know, everything lines up, go for it. The peace will expand. If you don't have peace about it and you go for it, let me tell you, there could be a rough ride down the road. I've been there. I've done that. Number four, ask godly people. What do you think? What do you think about this situation? Give me your advice and let them speak into your life. All right, conclusion. Paul said this, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So what does that mean? I'll have Jake put that verse up. When we keep in step with the Spirit, it means that our dial is tuned to the voice of God, and we just want to walk with him. We want to allow him to lead us. You know what revival is? Revival is when somebody gets in tune and in step with the Spirit. That's all it is. You can listen. You're listening for the voice of the cricket, God himself. You trained your voice, to train your mind and heart to listen. And when you do that, you stay in step with the Spirit. And here's this amazing quote. It only takes one voice at the right pitch to start an avalanche. One voice at the right pitch. One person to start an avalanche. You know what our communities need? Is a church full of people who are listening to the voice of God. The dial is tuned into him. We intentionally listen to him. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And what happens is amazing things. God just blesses individuals and families because they're in step with the Spirit of God. Walton and the communities represented by other people here, listen, the community just needs people that are in step with him. You know why? It can create an avalanche of goodness and blessing when we listen to the voice of God himself. So this week, train your ears intentionally to listen to his voice. Listen to the cricket. Only certain people can hear it. But you know who will hear it? The one who turns the dial of their life and connects with the voice of God, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. He didn't say maybe. He says they will. And when God finds a group of people who collectively listen to his voice, let me tell you, you can take the hill country. Whatever God puts in front of us, we're going for it. He will bless individuals and groups of people who are tuned into him and say, I want his voice. I'm going to listen for it. I'm going to hear it. I'm going to follow. I'm going to act on it. And let me tell you, God can bless people who do that. Let's pray. I want you to take just a few moments of silence and ask yourself, which voice have you been listening to? Is it God's voice? Or are you stuck in the voice of self, like Jonah? Or have we been playing with the voice of Satan, temptation? Just ask yourself that question. Some of you here are about to make a big decision about something. You're wrestling with it, struggling with it. And so we're going to go through the filter test. This idea, this thought, this situation. Number one, does it in any way contradict God's word? That's the big question. If it's in agreement, great. Number two, does it glorify God? Is this going to honor him? Number three, this is a biggie. Do I have peace about this decision? Do I go to the right or do I go to the left? Where's my peace at? God directs his children by giving them peace through the 24/7 GPS system called the Holy Spirit inside of us. And then lastly, have I asked other godly people about what I should do? It's a good question. They can either help us shape the decision or give us guidance and insight that we hadn't thought about. Father, in the quietness of this moment and those listening online, we just ask you to help us discern your voice. And for the person that is stuck this morning in anger or hurt or regret, I pray you'll lift them up out of it today. Help them just to confess it, to repent of it, turn from it, and Lord, set them free to reset the dial of their life. And Father, for the person who is just trying to sort out any big decision, I pray you'll give them the insight and the wisdom they need to make sure it's your voice to lead, guide, and direct. And for the person that's dealing with temptation of some kind, they're kind of playing with it. Lord, I pray you'll give each of us the insight to turn the dial, to flee from it, to let go of it, to confess it, to leave it behind so that we can live on higher ground. So Lord, as I close in prayer, I just say this. May you take each of us here today, that we hear the right pitch, the right message, and that you would create an avalanche of blessing through each person, in their families, in their church, and in the community. Just make it happen, because my sheep hear my voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.